The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voice.
Take me by surprise again.
To what I'm saying, I am contributing $12.50 for every hour that I'm on the air. I was faced in the last few weeks with a reality for me. I have been a fan, a believer in real milk for all my life, except for a few short periods of time I had real milk. Well, the price, you know, to get real milk, and I made a mistake about a week ago. I quoted something saying that real milk, they said that, you know, it'll last 15 days. And I made a mistake, and I said, well, it's like 13 or 14 days. That's not true. Where I was getting and had been getting my real milk, at 8 days, the milk begins to turn. Somebody said, well, you can always make it into cheese. I'm talking about the milk. It turns because it's not pasteurized. I'm not talking about me having to make cheese. Now, I did that in Arkansas, okay, on purpose at times. I also made my own cream. I think I know what I'm talking about. People came over to my place, couldn't believe my butter. But what I'm getting at is I had to go out once a week to get it. And so I make other little purchases, this, that, and the other, to justify me spending $16 to go get milk. Well, in the last couple months, especially the last month, it got to the point, and I said, okay, guess what, Jerry? You don't get real milk now. You're not going to get that garbage water-colored stuff, you know, white-colored water. And so I use a certain type of powder. That has allowed me to save $83 a month. That also allows me to be able to, in about 12 days, maybe a little less, my memories might be a little off, to be able to call RBN and donate $100. Okay. Now, I live on a budget. Always have lived on a budget, even though I was making more money than you could believe. But I live on a budget. I want you to think about something, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think a board operator could survive on $12.50 an hour? No way. Do you think all of RBN's expenses can be paid in $12.50 an hour? No, that's ridiculous. I request that you send in $12.50 for every hour the gathering offering is on. It's only on 2 hours. And I request that if they won't allow you on your card or something of that nature to say, this is for the gathering offering, then send them an email. The reason I'm sending you the $12.50, maybe you can afford more, that's great. That's great. But RBN does need to have some financial support now. 2 months ago, all of a sudden there was a drop in donations. And RBN is on the brink. You, the listeners, have to decide whether or not you want to pay to play. And if you don't, well, okay. Now, my particular depth of time that I'll be here is in question. Because I don't pull punches. I tell it like it is. Now I'm going to skip and I'm going to go back to when I was 12 years old. And when I was 12 years old, I started noticing something. But I wasn't sure. But by the time I was 14, I was positive. Yes, I lived at a country club. And there were men that showed up. And they wouldn't use their real name. Because they were a judge. They were a state prosecutor. They were a member of the state house. They were a member of the state senate. And they came out and they played with golf with some really rich guys. And those rich guys would get things settled with a judge and everybody else. And there'd normally be three rich guys of a lot of money. And you didn't have to wonder why that judge or that state attorney or whatnot was driving a big old fancy Cadillac. No way he could afford it on the salaries of what judges and people like that got. No way they could be walking around in $1,000 suits. No way where they could have golf clubs that were $1,500 a bag. I've watched it all my life. I've had very, very wealthy people explain it to me. This is the way our system in America works. We pay to play. Except they pay to play to get corruption on the people. The people that make the decisions for the people. And I'm not sorry that everybody hasn't listened to multi-millionaires explain it to you. This is the way it's done, Jerry. Wake up! The only reason I got that information because I decided I had to get that information. And I decided I'm going to become very damn good playing golf. And I became very damn good playing golf. And the better I got, more people, the more richies would open up to me, even offering their daughters to me with so much money. Hey, get married. You're going to get this. I've been there where a lot of people haven't been. I don't get a dime for coming on RBN. If I did something for RBN and somebody offered me $1 million, I would say no. I wouldn't take it. Taxpayer wouldn't take $1 million. I'm not allowed to take money for helping my good neighbors and my good brothers and sisters. I said good. I didn't say any neighbor and, you know, I don't take care of idiots. I don't try and help idiots. So after this hour and 10 minutes, some people would say, well, Jerry's just venting. I'm venting to let you know the attitude you better start getting real quick, good men and good women. Gentlemen and ladies, you need to get your head straight. If you can get your head somewhat squared away, then you'll start getting your physical body squared away. And don't tell me that you can't get squared away. It's painful. I understand that. It hurts. But you know what? Once you get into it and you get past the first week or two, you know what happens? You say, my golly, I'm doing better than I was a week or two. And no one's judging me. I know what I'm doing. And you get yourself toughened and hardened up. So now I'm going to get to the title of this show. First Contact, / Deep Impact. Is it a number? When I was very young, to get an A in a classroom, you needed to get between 95 and 100. That gets you an A. If you got 90 to 94, that would get you a B, and so forth. A few years later, 90 to 100 was an A. 80 to 90 was a B, and so forth. So what's that have to do? Well, just letting you know, they changed the rules, early in my lifetime of what an A or a B was. But I guess I was in third or fourth grade, can't remember exactly, and all kinds of other kids came up and they said, hey, we got our IQ. We know what our IQ is. I scratched my head and I remembered a few weeks before they had this some kind of test come around and everybody did this test. But that test, the results were given to the parents. Okay, so I went to my dad and I said, Dad, everybody in school is talking about their IQ except for some people saying I don't want to talk about my IQ. And I said, Dad, how come I don't know my IQ? He said, well, Jerry, I want you to be fully aware of the fact that your IQ is at least 1 point higher than 91. Okay, it's at least 1 point higher than 91. Now, what does that do me? I don't know what it is. So I'm chewing on that for a couple days, and I said, you know, I better go look up an IQ of 91 in the library. Well, in those days, if you had an IQ of 91 or less, you were put into an institution. That's where you stayed. You weren't given drugs and let on the streets. You were in an institution. Now, if you think institutions are just so wonderful, let me assure you that the time I was 18 to 21, there were four or five occasions due to this, that, and the other, I had to go over to an institution because somebody that was buying something, them or their wife or whichever it was, I had to go over there to give them some documents or to get some information. I want to tell you that, yes, I considered myself to be in quite good shape in those years. And I saw people that frosted my little fanny. I mean, they were monsters, extremely big, some of them. Now, some of them would just walk around grabbing their crotch all the time, spitting, pulling their diapers down and crapping on the ground. Just do it. It's just unbelievable. Well, those people are on your streets right now, ladies and gentlemen. Because in the middle 70s, this country decided, oh, we need to help these people. Let's give them some drugs so that they can take and go back into our society, and we're going to be sweet and nice to these people. Want to know where your suicide's coming from? People taking drugs, some of them prescription by doctors, some of them ODing on meth and all the other garbage that's out there. Myself, I've stood up in public in front of thousands of people and said, you know how we need to cure the drug problem? People say, oh, they want to hear Jerry say this. Well, you get a dump truck full of methamphetamine, small dump truck. And then you get a small dump truck with cocaine. And you tell everybody, hey, if you want some of this stuff, just jump in head first and just swallow and drink all you can. That's my attitude about drugs. Let them kill themselves. Get rid of them. Drug dealing should be a penalty of death. But that's where all the money is, on the streets. Drugs. Firearms that people couldn't even begin to even know how to use them. They steal them from other people and turn around and sell them. Why should I have to take a background check? Why should I have to have a license for a firearm? Anybody that does have these felonies and things like that, why aren't the cops going out there and double-checking them on a constant basis? As soon as they find them with a firearm or a gun or whatever you're talking about, put them in jail, hang them. Hang them. Get rid of the garbage. Get rid of the garbage out of your life. Your garbage is what's killing America. It's what's called, people say, well, I can't do anything about it. You're right. But you can express yourself, and you can get ready for what's coming. So, that was my first contact with 91. Deep Impact? Yeah, I started studying it. And I kept on studying it. And it got worse, and it got worse. And the Deep Impact is, it has crushed every resemblance of law and order in this country. Crushed every resemblance. You have people out there on a constant basis that are having to take drugs. If they take too much or they don't take enough, they go whack-a-mole, they commit suicide, they go out there and they kill people. All of these mass shootings that you're seeing right now, I just about bet you $100 to a dollar that the majority of them are sleepers. Oh, sleepers, what's a sleeper? People that were pre-programmed earlier in their life to do something upon receiving a certain message. They can read it. They can be told it. A certain way to play a music. And they snap. And they go backwards to that pre-programming. And they pick up something. And they go murder people. If I was the emperor, I would tell law enforcement this very simply. When you come into a situation and somebody has shot some people, we know it's him, we've seen him, don't shoot to kill. Shoot them in the knee or in the thigh. And once you get over there and they're laying on the ground screaming and crying for mommy, peeing in their boots and their jeans, tie them off real good so they don't bleed to death. Now we've got everybody in the world we need, and at Thursday at 11 o'clock, we put it on local and national TV, every one of these pieces of garbage, and we show it. There's nothing else on TV. And guess what? Watch them swing. Kill them. You're ordered under the Father's laws to kill these bad people. Start doing it. Get rid of them. You know what will happen? Pretty soon people are going to start thinking, you know, I don't think I want to go down to 7-Eleven and rob them with a gun or a knife. Because justice must be swift. Not months and months and years in jail waiting to go to trial. Now, what happens when somebody goes to prison? Because, oh, no, we don't want to have the death sentence. Oh, only in rare circumstances. Put them in prison. You have people that are in there for 15 years, no parole. You have people in there for life, no parole. Now, I'm going back to numbers in the early 90s, and it was costing us, at that time, about $125,000 a year to keep somebody in jail. We're coming up to a station break. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay here. Packaging is all that ever is. Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the Karoon, the train, and the full course dress. We got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM. We got the exploitation.com. We got the pages.
Sound. Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and good gentlemen, the board operator informed me that Neil from Austin has called in. Are you there, Neil?
I think I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you very well. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. A couple of things you touched on are near and dear to my heart. First and foremost, I have two younger brothers. One has autism, and the other one has Asperger syndrome, which is kind of like autism light. That's the way I see it. Where he is a normal guy, but he can't hold down a job. Like, he'll, so there's that. My grandfather on my mom's side was the headmaster of English high school here in Boston. My mom was a teacher. I got into Latin Academy, which is, until last year, it was called an exam school, where you had to take an exam to get into the school. And a year ago, City of Boston decided that, like, exam schools are, like, racist. Not enough black people were getting in, basically. And so they got rid of the exam. So there's that. And in the other direction is the pills that they're pushing on. People should not be getting any of these pills. These pills are no bueno. Like, I've got a long story. I have a very good friend of mine who... long story short, I on Twitter, before Twitter got what it is now, Kevin Miller, he produced a documentary called Generation RX, and he did that around 2004 or so, 2006, and that was about just all the pills that they're pushing on all the children, and it culminates in
all the children to be drug addicts, so they don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. That's what they want everybody in society to do, become nothing but human food. They actually have a movie about this where they take people, then people get thrown in, after they die. They actually can order their own death. And they get thrown into this vat, and they make the food, and now everybody's a total cannibal. They have a movie about that. And that's what they're doing.
It's sick.
It's called Canaanites. Canaanism. Cannibalism. Call it by the right word, please, sir. Call it by the right word. Cannibalism. Comes from Canaanites. That's what they do. They're cannibals. They eat other people.
Oh, they're trying to make us eat other people to this day.
Of course. And once you do that, what's the violation, what's the penalty under the Father's Law if you're a cannibal? What's the penalty? Do you know the penalty?
I do not know that.
Those particular people... or what is called, some people call it stump hanging. They put them on a cross. They put a sharp cylindrical pole up their rear orifice. They tie their arms to a cross. And then eventually, and their feet are just on this 45 degree angle platform. And after a while, standing up there, you slip and slide from all the stuff coming out. And as you slip and slide, that pole goes up into you and kills you. It is a very, very painful death. And you may read it in the good book about five kings that had six fingers on each hand and six toes. And those particular ones get that one because it takes a long time to kill them. And that's your example of what you do to the big Canaanites. You show no mercy to these bad guys. Now, that is the hardest thing at times when I just allow my mind to think about this, because I see so many of these mutants that are just sweet little bitty things. And I go, oh, look at these sweet little things. Excuse me. I'm thinking emotional. You're not allowed to make a decision when you're emotional. If you do that, you're going to fail. You have to stick to the facts. I hope that's helped you out a little bit. But, you know, we're the good guys are at the bottom of the rung. And us good guys have got to know something about that number, 91. Anyway, thank you for calling, Neil. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope that you can get yourself toughened up. It's not easy.
I'm trying.
You have to.
I'm young.
And keep trying and keep trying. And even if you fail, you find a way to stand back up, dust yourself off, get some water, and try again. The man that quits or the woman that quits, I don't want to be around them. And I know what
I got a good woman with me. And believe me, I live in Boston, Massachusetts.
Why don't you get the hell out of there because it's going to go underwater in the next few years.
Oh, well.
Whoops.
It's underwater now.
No, you're going to go underwater. I mean,
believe me.
By 1,000. Anyway, thank you. I've got to keep going, Neil. Appreciate your call. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to do is I want to wrap up this first contact, Deep Impact. And I talked to you about the number 91. 91 is a product of two prime numbers, 7 and 13. This is actually very important because it's going to tell you what you're looking for. And if you're not looking for it, guess what? You don't know what you're looking for. But I'm telling you, this is what you're looking for. 7 is the number in common language of a half squad. That is 6 good men and women plus the Lord. That's a half squad. 6 plus 1, 7. 13 is the other prime number. That is a full squad. That squad is made up of men and women. 12. It'd be all men. It'd be all women. Any combination. Plus the Lord. 7 times 13. What you're looking for is a half squad that you know that each one of those people are loyal to the death, to the Father, and whatever laws they're able to keep. Now, in that half squad or that full squad, there's going to be somebody that knows more than I know. And they're going to point something out to me and say, hey, here's one we can do. And I'm going to go, oh, I've been blessed. But each one of those individuals will contribute. You're looking for your half squad. Now, that's not easy. And if you find that half squad and you can't ever find another half squad to get together with you, then you're stuck with a half squad. Be proud that you're part of a half squad. But you might run into another half squad and you find out that's good. Those are good guys too, good gals. And you praise and you bless the Father. Do you hear what I said? Bless the Father? I found a half squad. I found a full squad. But let me tell you what you do. On a constant and continuous basis, you're examining the thoughts, the actions of every unit, every individual that's in your squad. And I will be looking as hard as I can. And if I find somebody that's a con artist, I'm going to point him out, and he's going to have to prove himself. If they want to call me a con artist, they have to call me out, and you trust the Father, and that's what you're looking for, listeners to RBN. You want to get yourself in the proper mental and physical condition that you, by that mental thing and that physical thing, you will be hunting the people that you will go to work with. I have to couch my language. And you will then experience what you've dreamed of all your life. 6 solid individuals being led by the only Lord, the only begotten Son. Now, is he going to be there at every single squad? Yes, he will. Because he will assign, if I'm correct, an angel to sit on that half squad or that squad shoulder. And they will be being guided by the only begotten Son, way faster and better than the fastest computer at communication. And when you go to do something, you know you're doing it because you're required to do it, not by your own code of honor, but by the Father's laws. And you will also have learned about the marriage laws. Oops, marriage laws. This guy's talking about squads and the marriage laws. Yeah, it's the toughest thing for people to understand. It takes time to explain it. The only begotten Son came down and he had that terrible death of that stake that was fixed to the cross and shoved up his rear orifice. And he died, read your King James, at about the ninth hour. Oops, what does the Father's law say? He has to die. Everybody has to, you know, he had to die at even, E-V-E-N. And right there in the King James, it says, and he died about the ninth hour. Well, how come it didn't say 12 o'clock? How come it didn't say noon? It was to let you know, ding-dongs, think about it. How come it says ninth hour? One more time. How come it says ninth hour? Because there are only 18 hours in a day under the Father's laws. And you don't even know how to tell time. Boy, I'm really great to my audience, aren't I? Why don't you learn how to tell time? That'd be something that you could do. Does it tell you unequivocally in the King James, not mentioning the far Fenton and da-da-da-da-da, that this is your time measurement, that your day starts at even. That's at 9. 9, wow, not 12. I said, you know, 12 earlier. And you can start thinking, now you can't operate in our society based on 18 hours. You can know it in your head, though. You can then figure out that, wow, gee whiz, I don't know squat from chinola. I think there's 24 hours in a day. Ever think about going back into history? He who fails to study history is doomed to report it, or to repeat it. Ever go back in history? How many hours in a day were there? 18. Well, right now in our society, right now, the days are not even. That's what even means. Every single day under even, when you've got the proper situation, proper time clock, there's an equal amount of day and an equal amount of night. Always. That's the way it is. And you go, wait, equal, equal. No, 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 no. You have every day, you have a shortened amount of daylight and an increase of night. That's how you have your equinoxes, the solstices. And that is even. That's your day. It is divided up. You only get 4 days a year where you get equal, equal. And you don't get equal, equal, but it all starts at noon. Confusing. You get equal, equal, but you don't get equal, equal. You only get that twice a year. However, your day, and on our society, they'll show you the day is this, and it's got so much light, and then there's a different number as to darkness. In other words, the days are not equal. All the days always have to be equal. In other words, they're all 9 hours and 9 hours of darkness, except for your souls. This is an equinox, and it's so hard to explain this that it's phenomenal. Never have I been able to explain this to people sitting there in person till I am able to pull out the paperwork and show them the paperwork. They go, oh, yeah. They switch the number of minutes in a day, a little cheat 3 or 4 minutes here, and call that day over. Then the next day, they'll cheat over here and call that and say that's a day. They cheat every day. Look at your time clock, when the day starts and when it ends. And we grew up that way. That's all we know. We've been trained and indoctrinated all of our lives. And to try and sit down with somebody, even with all the paperwork, the research and everything like that, and the, you know, all the quotes and all the facts and figures, it might take 3 hours of intensive study. And then people go, oh my gosh, look at this. It's tough. It's tough. All I'm able to do at this time is understand that when noontime, which is the ninth hour, comes, I have been, unless there's some kind of real problem going on, I've already had my shower. I've already prepared my lunch or my breakfast, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm actually, what I do is I start earlier, and all I do is, you know, like get the chickens and water this and do this, water that, all the little stuff, get all that handled. Whenever I get out of the house in the morning, and I don't try any big projects then, because I don't want all that on my mind when the seventh appointed day comes. And by getting rid of the little things in your life, you know, we all seem to have like 10 little things for every big thing. And if you set aside, just get rid of all your little things. Another work on them, work on them, work on them. And now you got a big thing. Now, if it's an emergency big thing, I understand you take care of that. Go around and work on your little things. Try to get your little things down to one or two. And if a big thing comes up, yes, obviously, you have to take care of a big thing. Okay, something's injured. Something ripped down the fence and the animals get out. Somebody's standing there with a gun. Saying they're going to shoot me. Okay, you take care of those big things like that. But otherwise, if you'll get rid of the little things that are always pressing you, a little press here, a little press there, work on your little things. Get them handled. And when you've gotten almost all your little things done, now you get ready to do your big things. And guess what? Your attitude will change. Stress on you will change. Now in a week or two or three, you might have some more little things come up. And so you say, okay, I got to get rid of these little things before I work on a big thing. That removes the constant, continuous stress in your life. Now, compared right now, the last 6 years of my life, compared to the 20 years before that, I had it down pretty good. Pretty good. I don't have built in right now periods of time. 6 days a week, seventh is something different, where I just go get a folding chair, a brimmed hat, a little cooler with some tea or orange juice, and sit in half shade, some sun, and observe the wind, the clouds, the birds, the deer, the coyotes, the flies, everything, observe them. Just sit there and say, you know, I know all this stuff knows more than I know. I want to sit there and watch for them dadgum coyotes. They're not supposed to be out during the day. Everybody tells you, well, there's coyotes that are out during the day. And it gives you a relaxation stage. And you might sit there for a half hour, see nothing. Well, you know, maybe I need to sit here another half hour. I ain't got nothing pressing me. Still got some orange juice, apple juice, some tea. I'm not burning up. And then you keep looking. 17 minutes or whatever it is later, you see something walk out there that you haven't seen. And you go, why? Gee, mini Christmas, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? I've actually learned something in 1 hour's time. I feel better. I've learned something. I didn't know that before. I relaxed. If you don't get yourself into a situation where you can stop all of this BS that's being thrown at you every day, where you can think about yourself. I'm not talking about sitting there right beside your wife. Your wife can go over there and think by herself. You can sit by yourself and learn how to do this. Now, once you learn how to do this and you're communicating to somebody else that's doing it, and you say, maybe we should sit together. But you're not sitting together to talk to each other. You're keeping your big, fat, flabby, flapping mouth shut. And your only contest is, can she or he see that deer with half of its rack broken off and the half that's not broken? Monster. And you say, who in the hell was he fighting with? And you both come up with that same thought and you talk about it after you've seen him. And you wonder, how'd that happen? Now you've figured out just this little bitty thing that you can think about. You're not trying to harm anybody. You're not under any pressure. You're just trying to learn something simple. It's the KISS principle I'm talking about. Keep it simple, stupid. And if you don't get yourself to a position where you can relax and absorb new information that might be knowledge, you're going to be under stress. Now, I get yelled at and argued by that by a lot of people that know me. Because morning and night, I watch the national idiots version of news. And I really don't know anybody that hasn't criticized me, and I really don't know anybody that does that. And my answer is this. If you don't observe and learn about your enemy, how in the blankety-blankety-blank are you going to defeat that puke bot? You have to study your enemy. I'm not bragging. But I'm telling you, I have had an awful lot of examples. And I look and I observe enemies. And I'm able to see, at least for a lot of years of my life, the enemy. The last thing I'm going to get to is these people that went to the riots in January 6th. They broke a rule that I have. I've had this rule for a long time in my life. Never go to a riot unless Big Mouth Jerry, can control the riot. I don't go to big events unless I can control it. Wow, that is an egotistical son of a bitch, aren't I? I have been in a situation where I needed 40 other men. And you know what? We kicked the snot out of 400 to 500 people. And guess who was in charge of that? Me. Did I talk about it when it was over? No. It wasn't over for like 24 hours because now we had to take care of all the people who were in the hospital. And obviously I had to go do that. And tell all the officials and this, that, and the other how to handle it. People came up to me and they said, after the event, Jerry, really good job. Some of these were real good friends. And I said, you blanky, blank, blank. Nobody can do a good job during that. All we could do is what we could. People tried to come up and pat me on the back for things like that. I've never accepted a thank you or anything like that in my life. I don't want to be a hero. And anybody that shows that I'm going to be a hero, you probably don't want them in that half squad or that full squad. Because they want to be a hero. I want to be a servant of the Father. A servant to His only begotten Son. A servant to the Father's laws. At no time in my life have I ever wanted to be a hero. start looking from that. Look at that. People at the mass shootings where these children are, they're making the parents and the brothers and sisters into heroes, and they let them talk about all this emotional stuff. And they, you can see it in their eyes. Well, my child was murdered, and I'm explaining this, and I'm doing my job. No, their job was to make sure that every single adult in that school was real, dadgum, damned good with a pistol. And anybody comes in, and that was one of the things I pointed out, Central Florida. Make everybody carry a gun.
Well, you were sleeping.
Last break of the show. Thank you.
They came and took it all away.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Back to the last segment of the gathering offering. If you've ever been in a situation where you have tried and tried very, very hard to not allow it to go to violence, no matter what you did, you couldn't stop the violence going to violence. And then when it's all over, you're the individual that is responsible for 120 people going to the hospital, broken jaws and broken arms. Now, three or four wound up with broken knees. And I didn't catch on to the one guy doing that until he had broken a few. But they had all been received. You don't break legs, break their jaws, break their arms. Now it's all over, said and done. Nobody got killed. The cops had stopped, had gotten in the army and everything like that. There had been a lot of them dead. And people came up to me and said something, man, you are a genius. You are a hero. Those particular people, it was all I could do to control myself. I said, you didn't have to go to the hospital and get, do the admissions and do this, that, and the other. And watch their, you know, if they were locals, their parents come in. And seeing some guy with a busted jaw that was going to take a lot of surgery to fix it, or a busted arm that was snapped in half, and sometimes the bones sticking out. Now, did I deliver all those to 120 people? No. But there were people that are aware of how to do that. But when it was said, it's over, every single one of the 40 guys, including me, they stopped. It was real easy. And, you know, it haunts you of doing what you had to do. You tried and you tried and you tried not to get into violence. And the only thing that you could get when you had somebody say, man, you're a hero, you saved this, you saved that. There, it finally, after a few people, because a few people, I've marched them backwards staring at them and walked them right up to a wall and got my nose 1 inch from them and said, don't you ever accuse me of being a hero. I just did what I had to do. Anybody that wants to be a hero, don't put them in your half squad. Get rid of them. They're idiots. It's no fun doing what you have to do. It's a responsibility and a duty, and you need to know that you're going to hurt mentally and emotionally in your heart of what is coming. Get yourself prepared. Why do you need 15 guns in the movie? It really tells you, with Mel Gibson and the old sergeant. Old sergeant says, if I do need one of those rifles, there'll be plenty on the ground. Get your head straightened out. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please contribute some money to RBN. They need it. Thank you.
I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Biden plans to invoke the Defense Production Act for what? The war in Ukraine? Gasoline? Baby formula? Nope. Climate change. That's right. President Biden is using wartime emergency power so he can grant and loan money to solar manufacturing and other green energy technologies. I have nothing against solar power or any other green energy, but this is not how our federal government is supposed to work. Executive orders, emergency powers, and now the Defense Production Act, all to push an agenda. Have any of the politicians in D.C. ever read the U.S. Constitution? Only Congress can pass laws, and all spending is supposed to originate in the House. I am tired of government constantly trying to find ways around the Constitution that they swore an oath to uphold. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pacem, Parabellum.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.